Good morning.
Good morning.
Jack Frost is out today, nipping at toeses and noses. I presume most of you have heard of Jack Frost. It used to be a very common term years ago. We talked about Jack Frost whenever there was a frost on the ground. Well, there's a bit of a frost this morning. That means it's nice and clear and wintry. The old rain. That keeps you in at break time, but you can always scamper about even though it's frosty at break time. Now open at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're reading a new verse. It's verse 7. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We have moved on from the days of Enoch, which was our last study. And actually we have moved on a very great distance in many ways, because we're now in a new world. A new world. The world that Noah came into when he stepped out of the ark was an entirely new world. You know that the world was flooded in the days of Noah. Now, it wasn't a flood that just covered part of the world, but it was a flood which covered the whole world. And had you been in Kilskerry back then, the flood was here as well. We're told in Genesis chapter 7, which is the part of Genesis that tells us about what happened at that time. In Genesis chapter 7 and the verses 19 and 20, we read these words. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upwards did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. That means if the mountains were covered, all the valleys were covered, everything lower than the mountains would have been covered. Men today deny that there ever was a flood, but we have God's word for it. God tells us there was a flood. And God in his kindness not only tells us in his word that there was a flood, but he has given abundant evidence that there was a flood. As it says here, the mountains were covered. It puzzles men to this day that at the top of, well, I would say all of the mountains, but certainly there have been quite a few mountains upon which there have been discovered at the very top seashells and other items associated with the ocean. Even fossils of fish found right up there at the top of the mountain. In fact, they have found them at the top of the highest mountains of all on the face of the earth, the Himalayas. Right up there. They have found seashells, the remnants, the fossils, the bones of ocean-dwelling creatures. All of which serve to support the word of God, which tells us that in the days of Noah, the earth was flooded, even the mountain. Even the mountain. Now, men don't want to believe the Bible, so they have invented notions of their own. And they have said that the reason why there are seashells, etc., etc., at the top of mountains is because those mountains once were the floor of the ocean. And that during millions and millions and millions of years of evolution, the floor of the ocean rose up and formed the mountains. And that's why you have seashells at the top of the mountain. The thing that's wrong with that is that it doesn't explain why there are fossils at the top of mountains. Fossils are formed when creatures are engulfed by mud, and then the mud comes under tremendous pressure, and the mud is squeezed until it's solidified and becomes a rock. Well, how did that happen? All scientists who would have any regard for truth at all would acknowledge that fossils were formed as a result of water and pressure. And the only explanation, of course, is the flood. In the flood, all the creatures of the earth would have been slain, including many of the fish, which would have been the only species that escaped the flood in any great number, because they were able to swim about. But many of them were nevertheless caught up in the flood, and the great upheaval of the earth's surface and the soil and so forth that would have been stirred up by this great flood trapped many of them, squeezed them, and men still can find them encased in rocks formed at the time of the flood. But of course not only fish. They have found creatures of every form trapped in mud, squeezed until it became rocks. Fossils of every form of dinosaur are found as a result of the flood. Oh, the flood is the answer to all the problems that men see out there in the records of the fossils. It all happened at the time of Noah, not really that long ago. Some, 4,000 years ago, it all happened. Now, we're looking at this verse 7, which tells us a little about Noah. It's wonderful how God, boys and girls, it's wonderful how God can take a whole lot of information and squeeze it right down and set it before us in just a few words. Now, you do the opposite, don't you? When you're asked to write a composition, you take a few little things and you squeeze them out and out and out and out until it fills the page and hope it'll please the teacher. But God is able, in one little verse, to give us an awful lot of information. We're going to look at that today, and we'll have to come back to it again next week in the will of the Lord. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that God, through Noah, issued a warning of coming judgment. Look at what it said. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. You see, God took Noah into his confidence. It is, as it were, because Noah was a holy man and walked with God, it is, as it were, that one day God put his arm round Noah and he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth because of its sin. And I'm warning you about it. I'm telling you about it. Now, God has done that for you. God has told you, even as he told Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. He has told you that. He has told you that through the gospel. He has told us very clearly that there is a coming day of judgment. I want you to think on that. I want you to think on that. Man is ever under the impression that the world is getting better and better and better. Science is advancing and advancing, and greater times are coming to this world. But that's a lie. That's a lie. The world is heading for judgment. In Noah's day, the world was heading for judgment. The flood. The flood. Well, God has told us and warned us, just as he warned Noah. He has imparted this knowledge to us, the coming judgment. Listen to the words of John the Baptist when he was preaching. He just had started his ministry, and he noticed amongst those who came to hear him, a lot of men who were not good men. They were hypocrites and pretenders and bluffers. You still get such come to church. They put on a face, they look as if they're interested, but they're not really. John the Baptist, when he saw them, it says this, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, but when he, that's John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And it's important for us just to notice those few words. The wrath to come. That was part of John the Baptist's message. That's what he was preaching about. There was judgment coming. The wrath. That emphasizes that it wasn't just a little judgment.
A little example of God's anger with men's wickedness. But there was a day when the wrath of God would come. And I tell you that just as Noah was warned that in his day God was going to visit the earth with judgment, so today we are told by God there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day of judgment coming. Let me say something else. Going back to our text, the verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What God told Noah made him frightened, made him fearful. Listen to me, boys and girls. It's very proper to fear God's wrath. Now, there are many who would come and say that it's very wrong to preach about judgment and put people in fear. Well, they're the devil's agents. I've no hesitation in saying that. It is very proper that you and I live in the fear of God. Very proper. There's many things in this world that people fear. They fear diseases. They take medicines and precautions to avoid diseases. And nobody says you're fools to do that. At this time of the year, you see a lot of people going to the doctor's surgery, and they're going to get an injection against the winter flu. Nobody says you're stupid doing that. No, it's considered a wise thing to do. Take precautions. Try and avoid the flu. How much wiser it is to avoid the wrath to come. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, it's very proper to fear the wrath of God. Now, back in the days of Noah, the vast, vast majority of the population of the world ignored God's warning through Noah. Paid not the slightest heed to him. And do you know? It's the same today. Out there in the world, there are very, very few who heed in any way the warning of God. A favorite text that is often displayed by Christians is flee from the wrath to come. And the world laughs at that. Laughs at that. What wrath? And where do we flee to? Well, that was the attitude in the days of Noah. They laughed at the idea. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, when you come to this verse, you will notice that the word straight is spelt S-T-R-A-I-T. And that word is not referring to another word that is pronounced straight, which has a G in it and an H as well. And it's referring to something that is straight, no bends in it. But this word doesn't refer to something that's straight. It's a word that refers to something that is narrow. So, if we could put that word in, enter ye in at the narrow gate. And you'll see that what I'm saying is right, because the verse goes on, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight, narrow, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the Savior's comment on men's reaction to the gospel. The vast majority reject it, and only a few enter in to safety. Noah's Ark, it's a wonderful illustration of the gospel. There was only one door into the ark. It was a narrow entrance. It wasn't half a dozen doors, just the one. And you had to pass through this entrance to get to safety. And so it is, boys and girls, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It points us to He who is the door, the only door, and tells us there's safety in Him alone. A lot of people believe that there's safety in every religion. Doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or Sikh or a Jew, or whether you attend a church that's called a Christian church. Just going there and taking part in religious exercises, that'll get you to heaven. But no, that's wrong.
That is wrong. There's only one door, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one religion, and that's the religion of the gospel that's set forth here in the Bible. So, it's right to fear God's wrath. It's right to take heed to the warnings, boys and girls, and I hope you have. I hope you have. There's not one of you here really knows what you're going to be when you leave school. During my days here, I have heard we boys say that we're going to be test pilots, or we're going to be firemen, or we're going to be policemen, or we're going to be all sorts of things. That's what they were planning to be for a day or two. But as far as I know, none of our school leavers ever became test pilots or firemen, and I can't think of any that became policemen. We don't really know what we're going to become. One thing you can be certain of, God is going to judge this world one day. You can be sure of that. And you need to take note of that and live according to that great truth and find shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing. As a result of what the Lord told him, Noah started doing that for which no one else could see any reason. Look at what the verse says. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God said to Noah, a flood is coming, a judgment is coming, I'm going to destroy the earth. And he started making preparation as instructed by God. He started building an ark. And there wasn't another person who, because they rejected the message of God, saw any reason for him doing that. And I can imagine people daily coming by Noah's house as he began to lay the foundations, as it were, of the ark and began to construct this great vessel, which was, by the way, not like as oftentimes pictures are drawn. A great boat with a pointed front and a pointed back, like boats we know. I don't think it was like that at all. I believe Noah's Ark was just a huge box-like creation. If it was a boat, God would have called it a boat. But if God called it an ark, then it was an ark. That is, it was a box. In the Bible, there is another very famous ark. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. And it was right in the center of the tabernacle and in the center of the temple. And it was a container. And in it there were the Ten Commandments, etc., etc. And it was just a box. Wonderfully made, covered in gold. But it was a box. Just a regular box shape. And I believe that is what Noah's Ark was like. Just a great big box. And it has often been stated, I do believe, that experts concede that a great box-like vessel would have been the best shape to survive a flood. But that's really only by the way. As he was building this great ark, many people would have been coming around, what are you doing, Noah? They could see no reason for what it was Noah was doing. You know that in the days before the flood, it didn't even rain. There was no rain. God watered the earth each evening and nighttime by a dew. A mist came down and watered the earth. There was no rain. So to talk about a flood was really puzzling to a people who never saw rain. And just as it is today, boys and girls, men say, where is the evidence of this judgment you're talking about? You say the world is going to be destroyed. Where's the evidence? And much that is revealed, if not everything that is revealed in the Bible, men say, how can that be? How can that be? Just as it was with Noah, men today can see no reason for that which we preach and that which we believe. But boys and girls, what is written in this book will come to pass. I had some visitors yesterday. As soon as I opened the front door, I knew what they were. A young woman and an older woman. All very polite and nice. And I said, I know who you are. You're Jehovah Witnesses. That's right. Well, I said, I have no time to speak with you. I'm a gospel minister, retired. I've spent my life telling the world that you are liars, and what you're teaching is wrong. The young woman laughed, but there's a day coming when she will remember the visit to number 17, and she'll remember laughing, and she'll regret it, and regret it for all eternity if she doesn't believe the gospel and throw away her foolish, wicked notions that she's seeking to spread as a Jehovah Witness. Boys and girls, wrath is coming. The world in Noah's day laughed at the idea, but it came. And judgment is coming, boys and girls. This book says it. God hath appointed a day in which he will pour out his wrath. You have school diaries, don't you? I'm sure. And you're required to write into them, such and such a day I will be doing this. Well, God is a diary, as it were. And he has written into it the day when he will visit this world in judgment. Not just the day, but the hour and the minute it will happen. Oh, boys and girls, flee from the wrath to come and enter into God's ark, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of the boys and girls today. I pray for a healing touch upon all who are suffering from the ailments that are abounding, the colds and the flus. May we know your touch. Bless our school, O God. Teach the boys and girls to fear the wrath of God and to find refuge in Christ, for Jesus' sake. Amen.